In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's Trinity Sunday, and we're going to back up in time. We're going to go back to the year 312 A.D. In the year 312, in the Italian peninsula, there were two armies getting ready to meet each other. There was this little bridge across the field called the Milvian Bridge. And near there, there would be battle the next day. One of the leaders of one of the armies, his mother, Helena, was a member of this rising religious sect in the Roman Empire called Christians. Helena had talked to her son, Constantine, about the Christian faith, who Jesus was, who God was, and the role that they may play in his life and his journey. But Constantine was not necessarily a man that interested in affairs of religion. He was more interested in power, prestige, glory for himself. His army was outnumbered. He was vying for the throne of the Roman Empire. And this was going to be the make it or break it day. He wasn't sure what was going to happen. He was going to live to see the next day. And if he did, if he were captured, he surely wouldn't live to see the following. As he was walking out amongst the ranks of the soldiers there that were fighting for him, he looked up, as the story goes, into the clouds. And he hears this voice. And the voice says to him, "By this sign you will conquer." And he looks and he sees in the clouds the shape of a cross. Cross that his mother had talked to him about many times before. He hurriedly comes back, gathers up the command of his army and says, "On every shield, every red Roman shield that you carry, there will be painted a white cross." And very hurriedly, late into the night, they work to paint these white crosses across these red Roman shields. The next day comes. The battle commences. This small force defeats the opposing army. Constantine has cleared the way for him to become the Roman emperor. Now, to be the Roman emperor is to have amazing power. He can do whatever he wants. What's one of the first things that he does? He legalizes Christianity. No longer would it be a persecuted religion in the Roman Empire. No longer could you be put to death for being a Christian. As a matter of fact, in a few short years, it becomes the preferred religion of the Roman Empire. But lo and behold, whenever you get several theologians into a room, you're going to have a disagreement. There were different versions of what it meant to be a Christian floating around in the Roman Empire. And these Christians now no longer persecuted could stand out into the public and have major disagreements with each other. Constantine didn't like this. He thought it kind of undermined the entire notion of Christianity. So at the urging of his mother, he calls together what's called an ecumenical council. He gathers all the bishops that he could. Some records say it's about 250, others say it's about 380. Probably it was somewhere in the middle. People coming and going throughout the course of this event. And they held it at this little seaside resort called Nicaea. Nicaea was basically the Greenbrier of the Mediterranean, okay? Very posh. Very posh, right beside the ocean, beautiful views. They had this ragtag group of bishops from all over the Roman Empire that came to discuss what it meant to be Christian, what the faith actually was. And the recorded description of this ragtag group of people, it's not men in beautiful, seeming, flowing robes. It's men who were walking in, missing an eye, missing their teeth because of the persecutions. They'd been blinded. They'd been punched in the face. They were missing fingers and limbs. They came hobbling. They came. They came because one of the primary problems that they had was a disagreement about the nature of Jesus. Who was Jesus Christ? There was a man named Arius. And Arius taught that Jesus Christ was created. at some point, Jesus, pop, you know, God just made Jesus. That eternal word, that eternal logos that we read about in John had a beginning. This didn't set well with certain individuals, people whose names were all very difficult to pronounce. Athanasius is one, who argued against this and said no, and was pointing to Scripture and saying, no, we can read that God, that the Word was always present with the creation, through the creation, the Holy Spirit was there, moving across the waters of creation. There was always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, the argument raged through the days and weeks that the Nicene Council met. What's actually fascinating is that one of our most endearing characters is there. St. Nicholas of Myra was actually present at the Council of Nicaea. And very famously, Santa Claus decked Arius. I mean, cold cocked him across the face in the middle of the floor, right? So, it gives an intimidating view of Santa Claus when you realize he'll do that to you. Be glad now that he just brings coal, okay? At the end of this, they prayed. They spent several days in prayer, trying to discern what it is that the Spirit was telling them, what truth actually was, what the reality of God actually was. And then they voted. It was very democratic at one point in the church's history. They voted. And out of everyone there, there were only two bishops that voted to side with Arius. In true Christian fashion, they were declared heretics and exiled, but that's another story completely. But out of all of these people that were gathered together, at least 250, they said, Jesus Christ has always existed. The Holy Spirit has always existed. God is, in fact, we are not polytheistic. There are not three gods. There is only one God. We are just aware of God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does that mean? My brothers and sisters, we've been going over that now for 2,000 years. What does this mean to know God in three persons, to know the Trinity? It's a very complex and convoluted thing. There's a Facebook group for Episcopal clergy, and the running jokes were things that you couldn't use as an example of the Trinity, okay? One of my favorite was, you can't use the turducken as a good example of the Trinity. You know what the turducken is? Google it. The Trinity is not, God is not meant to be something that we can define and put in a box. God is mystery and amazement meant to cause us wonder. That's the beauty of God. Christianity is a philosophical religion, born in the Greek world and Roman world of the first century AD. We find people having this debate. The debate continues to this very day. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of it. God gave us a mind. We were meant to use it. We will never fully understand God, and that's okay. Because our desire is not so much as to know every single minute detail about God as it is to dwell on the idea of God and find amazement each and every day in new and exciting ways. In a world that is filled with ideas and thoughts of alternative facts, there is, in fact, absolute truth. And my brothers and sisters, we need to be seeking towards that absolute truth. We're never going to get there. We're never going to fully understand. We're never going to understand how it is that God is able to be three people and one person all at the same time. That in the Nicene Council, it was the argument over homoousios and homoiousios, of the same substance or a similar substance, that they argued about and ranted and railed about. You know, the only difference between those two words is one letter. Greek letter iota, which is literally where we get the phrase, it doesn't make one iota of difference. Have you ever heard that? It literally comes from the fact that there's only one little difference there. But that little difference makes all the difference. And it's in the details that we really find God. My brothers and sisters, I hope, I desperately hope, that on this Trinity Sunday and throughout all the year, we are searching for God, searching out all those little iotas, searching out to find who it is that God is, not only to the world, but to us individually as people, who it is that God is to us, how it is that we can take that message out into the world and spread some of that absolute truth that so desperately needs to be heard about the love of God, about the communion of saints, about the resurrection of the body, and all these other things that we say every Sunday in the Creed. My brothers and sisters, let us seek after truth, and let us proclaim it from each and every opportunity outside of these walls, through this world, so that the world can come a little closer to knowing the truth of the love and mystery of God. Amen.